Ben Jawalski, what are you doing under the desk, bro?
I'm trying to lift your chair up, but you started the podcast already.
We're already 5 minutes late. This is on you, not on me. You guys are a hot mess. Just like that.
Here, you can sit in the tall chair.
Okay.
It's all good. It's all good. We're live now. We are completely and utterly live now. So that's exciting stuff. What's going on? Welcome back. How was your trip home?
It was wonderful. I'm still recovering both mentally and physically, mainly physically. Absolutely exhausted from the CrossFit Games, but I have to say it was one of my favorite games ever.
I went to the gym today and I told them if they smelled tequila, that was just me just coming out of my pores at this point. My first workout back and it was miserable, absolutely miserable.
Yeah. Well, Shona's been working out all day here at the office, shooting new demo videos. So she's been shooting videos all day long, and I've just been sitting in here editing emails.
Do you want to introduce Shona since she's never been on the show and we're just talking about her like she's been here the whole time?
Of course. So with us today, we have Shona Oldham. She is a coach, and she's also the creative director for WOD Prep. So she's the one that's in charge of pretty much all of the social media channels, making sure that they function properly, making sure the content is posted. She also has the final say on all the videos that we post. And we are super excited to have her here. And she's also the, if you've ever seen an attractive girl in our videos, it's not me, it's Shona. Did I miss anything?
No, that sums up.
She's also from Scotland, so translating her accent will be really fun. But
somebody said to me, I forget where we were, but it was really loud. Somebody leaned over and they're like, she just spoke to me. I have no idea what she said. I'm like, just roll with it.
That was pretty much the theme of the weekend. Everybody's just like,
Is that weird for your show? Like coming to the States and people, you know, we speak the same language, but we don't really. Is that weird?
Yeah, it's pretty weird. I think we obviously watch a lot of American TV, so I can understand everything you guys say. But especially when I was with Charlie, she's from Manchester in England. And when we speak to each other, we speak really fast. And everybody's like, well, didn't understand a word of that.
Ben does a really great Australian accent. Can you do an American accent?
No.
Oh, try it. Give it a try. Come on, give it a try. I want to hear.
Okay, give me something to say.
I just went to Chick-fil-A and it was delicious.
Did
you hear any change in her?
Not even a little. Not even a little. It wasn't even, there was no change.
So Charlie, again, from the UK, like she mentioned, she's our marketing manager. And Shona were with me and they talked for a few minutes and we're just like walking through the hallways at the Coliseum at the CrossFit Games. And it kind of hit me a couple minutes into the conversation that I had not understood a single word that has been spoken. And I wasn't in the conversation. Like I was in it. And then I realized, I'm like, wait a minute. I haven't understood a single thing for the last 3 or 4 minutes. It's been fun.
You know how I get around that? Usually when I'm talking to a woman, I just don't listen anyway. And so that works out. So I'm just not going to hear it. Yeah, I know. It totally works for me. Totally works for me. Well, we're glad you're here, Sho. I'm sure we'll have some fun stuff to talk about. How was your week at the games? Did you have a good time? You were only there for a couple of days, but how was it for you?
Yeah, it was really good. I feel like it's pretty full on. I think 2 days is enough, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I wanted to come back and spend a bit of time in Denver at WOD Prep HQ and do a bit of work as well. So, yeah.
Have you acclimated to the time zone difference?
It's not been too bad. I was a little bit awake at 3 this morning, but it's been all right. I think it's probably going to hit me harder on the way home.
Oh, I'm sure it'll crush you on the way home. It's, was it from Denver to where you're from is probably, let me guess. Don't tell me. I'm going to say 7 hours. Is that right?
It took me 24 hours to get to Madison from Scotland.
Are you saying time difference?
Yeah. 7 hours is. Yeah,
I got it right. That was pretty good, right? I have some friends in London, so I knew they were 5, and I was taking a guess that you guys are 2 behind me. So
Yeah.
Look at me. Look at me. World traveler here.
Wow, dude, you're so smart.
I barely got my I still don't have my voice back. I sound like hell. And I'm just freaking exhausted. I woke up on yesterday morning early after being out at that after party. And I was like, screw it. I'm just going to get up and go. And I still didn't get home till damn near 6 o'clock. And I'm just then I got up early this morning because I'd worked at, you know, my actual job, the one that actually pays me. I had to attend that today. And
the meme job, right?
I wish it was a meme job. I had 250 emails to respond to. It was a hoot. It was a real hoot.
Oh, man.
I loved it. It was
great. That's a heck of a way to celebrate your new age. That's right, listeners. John Woolley is officially 1 year older. And
52.
How old? 52.
Yeah, show keeps saying I'm 55, but I'm 52. I wish I was 55. I could age up into the next age division. I'd kill in the 55 group because they dropped the weights down from, you know, 50-pound dumbbells to 35s. I would love that shit. But unfortunately, I got 3 more years of doing the heavier dumbbells in the open. So,
well, we had a great time celebrating your change into the new year. In fact, the DJ, you remember how the DJ was like calling out? Like there was a couple other people's like birthdays and stuff like that. I tried to get him to call you out, but he just kind of looked at me and nodded. And I was like, okay, all right, bye. So, well,
first of all, that DJ had no idea who I was. And thank God he didn't. He probably would have gotten us kicked out of there. I really appreciate how we got into the after party. So I thought that was fun. We just, you know, none of us had tickets or passes or had been invited. And you're like, let's just walk in with authority. And damn it, it worked.
It worked. The only problem was we couldn't actually get any drinks.
Oh,
we had to blag a few drinks.
I had three or four drinks. I was getting, I got free ones.
That's because you're famous.
The second I walked in, I got a drink. It was very exciting. Yeah, it was fun.
I didn't drink at all, and I had a great time.
Somebody gave me a drink right at the end of the night. This, you know, I've told this story before where I'll just like people just hand me stuff and I'll just take it. I'm just standing there. Some dude, I didn't know this dude from Adam, and he walks up and there's like three of us and he had a full drink in his hand. He like turned to somebody in there and they're like, no, I don't want another drink. And he turns to me. And of course I just take it and start drinking. Like it was mine all along. Turns out it was gin and tonic. As soon as I tasted it, I'm like, oh, that's gin. I've not been drinking gin tonight. So this is going to be a weird mix. Let's see how this goes. And it went exactly like I thought it did. It put me on my ass, but
definitely the highlight drink of the night for me. I had like one alcoholic beverage earlier in the night, and that was a special birthday shot that I shared with John Woolley, and it was fantastic. It was actually quite delicious.
So, do you know why we had to do that? Did you hear the backstory to this?
I do not know the backstory, okay, but I do know the name of the shot. I don't know if we're allowed to say it on air.
Yeah, no, we can say it. So, So I was talking to Savannah, who's on your team. And I guess she'd gone to some party. And I don't know if it was a bachelorette party or something, but it was a lot of women there. And I'll give it the nicest term possible. So they were doing these shots, and we'll just call them BJs, right? And the point of the shot, it's like a coffee-style liqueur, and it's topped with whipped cream. And you put the shot glass on the table, and you have to put your mouth on it and drink it without touching it with your hands. So use your imagination. And so she's telling me the story, and we had a lot of jokes to make about it between the two of us. We thought it was really a funny story, you know? And so we're making really inappropriate jokes for about an hour. Little did I know, I think what she was doing was setting me up for to have to do one of these shots on my birthday, because when we get together, next thing I know, show comes out with these two shot glasses and says, I have to do one. I have to pick somebody else. So of course I'm going to pick you. Like, they had to have known I was going to pick you. Like, who else am I going to make do this? You know? And I got to be honest, Ben, I was impressed with your technique. You had it down.
Yeah, that was I was very good at it. Very good at drinking that shot.
Well, I wasn't, but I made it happen. It was fun.
It was pretty delicious, though. Not going to lie. Like coffee liqueur and whipped cream, and it was just delicious.
I don't know what they actually used. It tasted to me like Kahlua, but it could have been Bailey's, maybe, I guess. Whatever it was, it didn't have a lot of alcohol in it.
I think it was both.
Was it both? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it was a winner. It tasted delicious, for sure.
Yeah, I was a bit disappointed you didn't pick me, John.
I was thinking after the party, I should have put out like a how to recover from hangovers post for all those games athletes that never drink, that were completely and utter smashed at that party, because they were useless. I was messaging one the day after who shall remain nameless to protect his rep. And I'm like, listen, this is the only thing I could probably actually teach you. So what advice do you need advice? How are you feeling right now? And he's like, oh, I'm hurting pretty bad. I walked up to this guy. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's holding a margarita and he's white girl wasted. And what I mean by that is, like, these games athletes don't drink real alcohol ever. So when you give them real alcohol, you have to give them something really fruity and sugary that they can stomach. They can't handle whiskey or tequila or, you know, anything that's, you know, got real kick to it. And he's like, dude, I'm so drunk. And I'm like, no. I'm like, no shit, buddy. No shit. You have like half an ounce of body fat. You've been working your butt off now for 4 or 5 days. And now you've had like half a drink. Of course you're smashed. You know, it was really funny. So good after party. Really good after party.
Oh, I agree. I think my favorite moment of the after party was a very prominent games athlete was being carried on someone's shoulders and he's got two beers in his hand and he's just like having a great time, fist bumping, you know, it's great. Some random girl who the whole time that night was just, I mean, it looked like she was lost, just completely lost. Like,
I know, I saw that girl. I know.
You saw that girl, right?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, honestly, like I was like, I almost like went to talk to someone to be like, hey, I feel like she needs help. Anyway, that girl just walks up to Patrick Vellner while he's on this other guy's shoulder. Oh, shit. I said his name.
No, you could say his name because that was a pretty popular story that came out. Everybody.
Yeah, he's totally cool with it. Anyway, so Pat's on this guy's shoulders. This girl walks up and then just like sticks her hand up. And Pat just kind of like is nice. And he's like, all right, here, you can hold my beer. And like gives one of the beers to this girl. And she just turns and walks away with the beer.
Dude,
I was standing right next to him, and I just started talking to him. I was like, what was that about? He's like, I have no idea, but that was so bold because she's wearing this bright red dress, and I could go get it back pretty easily. But kudos to her. That was pretty bold. So that was hilarious.
Dude, people were so wild. I think it was the same girl. But again, she was smashed and just looked lost, and I'm standing with another athlete.
Was it Shona?
Yeah. No.
Different.
I'm standing with this other athlete, and this one will remain nameless. And he's got a fiance and she's not with him. And the girl came over and like, it was the most blatant pass I've seen anyone get in person, like straight up, like basically proposition this dude. And kudos to him and his high moral character, because he was doing everything he could to get out of that conversation until I finally like kind of stepped between him. He's like, thank you. Like, I don't want this girl to talk to me, but I don't want to be, you know, he didn't want to be rude because he's a nice dude. You know, it was really funny, but he was so uncomfortable. And, I was like, and so I said to him, I'm like, good for you, man. Like, I love seeing people have good moral character. You know, it's just really funny.
Which, to be clear, a lot of these prominent figures do. And it was really, it's just really cool to see everybody coming together. It's not like everybody's walking around flashing photos and saying, oh my gosh, look who it is. Let me get a picture with them. It's like everyone's just there having a good time on the dance floor. Lots of drinks flowing and just everyone really celebrating what was truly an amazing games, like with some great tests and some great drama, you know, there were some pretty close leaderboards. There were some question marks on if the prominent players were going to win. And it was really cool to see it all pan out. I mean, obviously the predictable result did happen, but the way that it happened and the way we got there was not necessarily predictable.
Well, I got a lot of stuff I want to talk about tonight, but since you guys brought it up right at the top of the show and now we got some people actually logging in, I'm dying to know. So, show, you had Chick-fil-A tonight. Is that your first time having Chick-fil-A?
Yeah, my very first time.
Wow. This All right. I want a full UK description of how it was. How was it? Did you like it?
Yeah. Everybody keeps laughing at me here because every meal that I have, I'm like, this is the best steak I've ever had. I'm like, this is the best breakfast I've ever had.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
She, I kid you not, direct quote, and I'll tell you where we're eating after I say the story. We're sitting down, we're eating breakfast, we've all ordered. She finishes her plate, and she's like, oh my gosh, I think this is definitely the best breakfast I've ever had in my entire life. And I just kind of looked to her, and I'm just like, the breakfast at the Double Tree Hotel. That's the best breakfast you've ever eaten.
That was your favorite?
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, I ate there 4 days. That is not the best that the Midwest has to offer, show.
In my defense, they had little baby potatoes that were all crispy, and they had cheese on them, like for breakfast.
I was there that morning. Yeah. They were good. Those were good. I'm not going to lie. They were good.
And the crispy bacon as well. Crispy bacon. Mm.
I wish I'd known. I would have taken you to a proper breakfast.
This was so good.
Next time we're together.
I don't want to go anywhere else.
All right. I guess we're going to have to find a Doubletree while she's here in Denver.
Let's get a rating on the Chick-fil-A, though.
We have our breakfast this morning.
Oh, this morning we had pizza.
That's good breakfast, too. Tell me about the Chick-fil-A. What was your favorite part?
The chicken was good. We had chicken strips. And the dip and the waffle fries. Okay, all of it was good.
Now, when you say dip, did you have the Chick-fil-A sauce? Is that what you had?
Chick-fil-A sauce, some sort of spicy, sweet, sour.
Sweet and sour sriracha.
Okay.
And my favorite one.
What was it? I think the favorite one of hers was the buffalo.
Oh, nice. But you had the Lord's waffle fries, right? Yes. Aren't they the best? Yeah.
But we're also going to Taco Tuesday later, so I don't want to eat too much.
Taco Tuesday. You're so predictable, Ben. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I love it. All right. Well, let's jump in if we can. So, Sho, you are an amazing lifter and super fit, and you're a mom. How many kids do you have?
I've got three.
Three. You have a tiny little baby right now, right? How old's your baby?
Yeah, she's just turned one.
Oh, I wish I should have prepped for this and put a picture of her because she's so cute. those big cheeks. I just love her so much.
Yeah, I miss those little cheeks.
Do you FaceTime her when you're not there?
I FaceTimed them the other day, but she sees me, she just wants me. So yeah. Ash didn't turn the camera around this time so that she couldn't see me, but she heard my voice and she was like,
So what's this last year been like for you? I mean, obviously, training while you're pregnant is one thing, but you know, she's a year old, so you're a year past. Like, what was that progression like for you over the last 12 months? Like going from, you know, being pregnant, having the baby, and now I'm going to make an assumption you're back in full swing, but like, how's your last year's worth journey been?
Yeah. So it's been so much better than I expected it to be. To be honest, I was really kind of dreading the whole training while pregnant and postpartum fitness. Like I would see other people in the gym do their like really easy looking exercises for months, what seemed like months on end. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I just want to lift weights.
Right.
And so, yeah, like my main training is weightlifting now. So that was kind of when I fell pregnant, I just stopped doing snatches and clean jerks. Yeah, I still did like strength training and I jumped in with some of the classes in my gym and just scaled things back. So it got a bit boring, but I was happy to be moving and I didn't train with my other two kids. Like I wasn't doing any training when I was pregnant with my first two. So, but I noticed such a massive difference in how I felt and how much better I moved. Just like my overall health when I was pregnant, it wasn't a struggle. And I trained right up until like a week before I had Finley. So yeah, that made a massive difference training while pregnant and just having like really good coaches who could kind of guide me and help me with what I should and shouldn't be doing. I played it pretty safe, to be honest, but I was still lifting weights and I did still get quite a lot of people like making comments about how I shouldn't be lifting weights. And I just think it's a shame because I feel like there's so much misinformation out there. And the people that were saying this were like, they hadn't done any research. They didn't even know the guidelines for the UK in terms of like physical activity, which says that pregnant women should still be strength training and working out and things like that. So it's just a shame. Like things are changing, but I did still get quite a lot of people. And my mom, she's like, yeah, I do find it a bit strange or like worried seeing you do these things. She's like, but I trust you. I trust that you know what you're doing. And she was good about it, but yeah.
So you're primarily a lifter. You're mostly Olympic lifting. Do you do Metcons at all? Do you do CrossFit workouts or just mostly lift?
Mostly lifting. I did a couple of weeks ago, I did I guess just the weekend before I came here, actually, I did a competition. It was kind of like fitness racing meets Highland Games. I don't know if you know much
no
about
idea.
That. They're like,
no
you know,
idea.
Caber tosses, and we had a big worm and stuff. It was a team one, so it was just fun. I didn't really train for it, but it was just a good laugh.
So when you were approaching pregnancy then, or, you know, kind of starting the pregnancy journey, did you go to your doctor and say, hey, I want to lift, give me advice? Or like, how did you approach that with your physician?
Yeah, I didn't go to my doctor. We're lucky we have a women's health physio that works and trains in our gym. So she was able to give me some guidance. I did actually try a pregnancy program. I bought a program that I was going to do, but actually I found that I could kind of just be a little bit sensible and do the programming that I wanted to do. There wasn't too much that I couldn't do. Obviously I took out my Olympic lifts, but in terms of most other things, I could still do them. I just had some kind of rules. So like one of the things I would do is, as long as I could breathe through all of my lifts, so I wasn't doing any bracing. That was one of the kind of guidelines that I'd been given, was to be able to breathe through all my lifts. So that obviously just naturally limits how much you can lift. So there was no progression in terms of, like, you know, I would do class workouts, and it would maybe be like your deadlift would be progressing every week and mine would just stay exactly the same. But that in itself, I feel like, was a progression, because as I was getting bigger, to be able to still do the same weight was, it felt good.
So were there any lifts you couldn't do, or were you still able to do all the Olympic lifts?
No, I took them out pretty early on. Some people do keep them in. And I think it's kind of down to, you know, your advice from your doctors, etc., and also just personal preference. But for me, really the main reason was I was going to have to change my technique. And as I got bigger...
Your bar path would need to change.
Yeah, so obviously as I got bigger, the bar is going to have to come out in front. And, you know, for Olympic weightlifting, you want the bar to stay as close to your body as you physically can. So I was like, that's just going to teach me bad habits. My center of gravity was going to be off. It's going to be different. So it's just, for me, it just wasn't worth it. And then, of course, snatch, you know, where the contact point is, that's exactly where the baby was. So right. That was definitely for me, I know, because then if you continue to snatch when you're pregnant, you're obviously going to have to move the contact point down to your thighs. And again, not a habit I wanted to pick up. So I really missed it. I really missed lifting. And I didn't start again for a few months after I had Finley. But I started like my postpartum training really soon. I bought a program for that, and that was really, really useful. It's a girl called Jane Curtis. And she has pregnancy programs and postpartum, and they're really good in terms of, it's not like kind of cookie cutter. It's like you can... there's kind of like assessments that you can do to figure out your starting point in terms, because everybody's different after they have a baby, like completely different. So there's no like one size fits all. So I think it's really important to get some sort of like individualized help. And also the women's health physio, I saw her at 3 weeks for an assessment, and then I saw her again at 6 weeks. And actually she had given me a full check, like pelvic floor, everything. And she said, like, you're fine to start lifting weights. And that was 6 weeks after a section. So, again, everybody's different. I would recommend you get checked out. But that actually gave me confidence to go and do things that I probably wouldn't have done so soon. But she was like, no, you're fine to do that. You're, like, you're good to go, sort of thing. So, yeah, I took it slow, but it was good to be able to, like, I feel like I love that postpartum period, because there was just progression. Every single day you were doing something just a little bit either heavier, or, you know, you're starting to rebuild things and do movements that you haven't been able to do for a long time.
I want to come back to that, because I think that's interesting. But during the pregnancy part, was it hard for you, or does your mind change? Like, do you shift your mindset knowing you're pregnant, that all of this is okay? Like, I know I get really... I've got this kind of minor injury right now, and I get worried about, well, what can I do next? Is it going to, you know, affect my training? And of course, you've got this kind of huge thing happening. Does it affect you positively, negatively, or is this just another thing you're working through until you have the baby?
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely worried about it before I fell pregnant. You know, I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this. And then when we were trying for a while for Finley, and I was so happy when I fell pregnant, and it was like, I was okay with it. I just tried to not really think too much about, you know, what I was kind of like giving up in a sense with my weightlifting. But I knew that it was all going to be worthwhile. And I really enjoyed the process of like being creative with my workouts, making sure that I could do workouts that weren't boring. And it gave me a chance to jump in with classes and do workouts that I've not done for years. So that was fun.
And then after you have Finley, you're back, you know, back into training. You said you really enjoyed the progression. What was that like for you? Like, I mean, you're a terrific lifter and, you know, I'm sure have set tons of PRs, but coming back from pregnancy is still, I have to imagine, I don't know, I've never been pregnant, shocking, but I would imagine it's like kind of starting from square one, or is it?
It isn't. I think the nice thing about it was, you know, when you're injured, so say you have an injury, say you have like maybe back problems or something like that, and the recovery can be really up and down and you're not sure whether you're ever going to recover from it, or, you know, you don't know what your future is going to look like in terms of lifting. And for me, I was like, it was quite a linear progression. So, you know, I've seen other people come back from it. And, you know, I remember I was in my gym downstairs. We made a little gym in the house just so that I could do some workouts at home, because I knew I wasn't going to get to the gym quite as much once I'd had Finley. And we had this like 20 kilo barbell on the floor and it was in my way. And I was going to do one of my postpartum things, and I was just looking at this barbell and I'm like, I can't lift you. Like, I can't even move you off the floor. And that was like, that was weird, because I was like, I can't imagine being able to clean or snatch, or I couldn't imagine, like, you know, where you have a C-section and your scars like pretty much exactly where you contact the snatch. So, yeah, I was like, I can't imagine ever snatching again. And that was, like, strange, but I was like, I have to trust that it is going to get better. And it was quite a linear progression. Every week was, like, it sounds a bit, once I hit that kind of six-week mark, everything, like, improved really quite quickly. But in terms of, like, it's taken me till now probably almost to get back my raw strength. But snatch and clean and jerk still a little bit off from what they were before.
How was it mentally through all this? Like on my other show with Nikki, she's been very public about how difficult, the emotional roller coaster was after the baby. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, she wouldn't mind me sharing the story, cause we've shared it on the air so many times, but like Nikki and I are very close friends. We text a lot. We, you know, we do the show together at least once a week. And we're like brother and sister. Well, it was like dead air for weeks. You know, she was just like such a dark place after having the baby that she just couldn't talk to anyone. You know, it was really, really tough for her. Did you have any of that, like, you know, kind of roller coaster, or were you able to kind of get back into training and start working through your progressions?
I did have that with my other two, with my first two kids. I had really difficult births and a long recovery, longer recovery. They were both natural births, and my recovery from both of those was longer and much harder mentally than my C-section, which is why I decided to go for a C-section with this one. Again, everybody's different, so that everybody has different experiences of that. But just being in so much pain after I had my other two, it was really hard mentally to kind of bond with your baby and kind of, you know, people think when you have a natural birth, they're like, oh, she's fine, so she can just get on with things. And then you have a C-section and everybody wraps you up in cotton wool and you can't do anything.
Right.
But actually it was harder for me with my other two than it was with this one. And this one just felt so much better mentally that I just really enjoyed those first 6 weeks of having a newborn, which I didn't with the other two.
Yeah. Well, I can't personally imagine, but I've had plenty of friends that have gone through this, and I know that's one of the toughest things that I think women experience after having a baby, is kind of that, you know, I mean, I'll just blanketly call it postpartum depression. I know it's more than that, but you know, was there anything special that you, you know, looking back on it, maybe on the first two, anything advice you would give to other women kind of in this space that are, you know, in the, you know, having kids or they have one on the way or they're thinking about it, help them get through that?
I think it's good for people to talk about it more, just for it to be more, for people to be more open and almost let people expect it to happen, because I think people want to, oh, like, enjoy every minute and you know, you're just going to love your baby as soon as it comes out. You're never going to feel so much love. And people set you up with all these big expectations. And quite often, if it's your first baby, you're like,
right,
what the hell? So I think, like, if it's more talked about and people can almost expect it, and I didn't tell anybody, I didn't speak to anybody about it, about how I was feeling. Sometimes, like, you know, I remember with Matilda, it was weeks after I had her and I was in so much pain and I tried to sit at the dinner table and I just burst out crying and I was like, I can't even sit down to eat my dinner.
Well, to be fair, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't Chick-fil-A, so that's probably...
No, well, that's maybe why I was crying.
Probably eating.
There's one thing I've learned from Shona, it's that I am not looking forward to the food in Scotland.
Yeah, hey, I want you to make sure he eats some haggis. Will you make sure he gets some, please?
Yeah, yeah. I brought him some shortbread.
Do you guys do beans on toast, or is that just a Brit thing? Do you?
Beans on toast with cheese on top.
With cheese. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well. Oh, I know. Got to have the cheese. I know.
Yeah.
I'm good friends with Craig Ritchie, and he's always posting. Every time he posts, and I have to text message him. I'm like, bro, no. Just no. I can't do that.
Your friend Andy's talked about it before as well.
Andy. Yeah, I ignore most of the things he says.
Oh, that's so tough. So are you fully back now? It's been a year. Are you back in full swing, or you still have some after effects?
Not so much after effects, just taking some time to really to practice again. You know, like that's been a nearly like maybe a year and a half that I wasn't snatching, or I couldn't snatch for maybe about 6 months or so after having her, just because of where the contact point was. I needed my scar to fully heal before I was snatching again. So, and then I also had a shoulder injury, so I've not been jerking up until like a month ago. I started jerks again. So yeah. The Olympic lifts are taking a bit longer to come back, but my strength is almost there. And that's been probably about 9-10 months since I started training properly again.
How old is Matilda? Refresh my memory.
She's nearly 7.
All right, so you have a 7-year-old and a 1-year-old. I know your son's older. How old is he?
He's 17.
Okay. So how are you balancing time? You're like Superwoman. You got, you know, two, between 7 and 1, like, I know it's kind of a sizable gap between those two, but, you know, 7 is still young and you're finding time to fit in all this training. Like, how are you balancing, you know, mom and training?
Yeah. So there's a few things. One of the things we did was that I mentioned earlier, we made that little home gym in our house. So that allows me to do like a couple of workouts a week, 1 to 2 workouts a week at home. So that's just makes that a little bit easier. So I'm not leaving the house. Our gym's only 5 minutes, like round, literally a 5-minute walk around the corner. So that's good. There's a few things that I kind of have had to adjust to in terms of maybe when I can train. So I would never have really trained in the morning before. It was always an evening training. So that was one thing I changed after I had Finley. I was like, okay, 7 o'clock in the morning some days is the only time I'm going to get trained. So that's when I train. And I think actually that is, like, for me, has been a bit of a mindset shift, and I find it a positive, because I see other people who maybe don't have these time constraints and these other commitments, and they end up, they'll put their workout, maybe I'll do my workout this morning, I'll do it tonight. And then it gets to tonight and you're too tired, I'll do it tomorrow. And then they end up with like these workouts building up towards the end of the week. And I think that if you have these set times, like I have a really set schedule. So like, you know, it's not my ideal times that I would work out, but that's the only times I have to train. So it means that I just do them. Because if I don't train at 7 o'clock on a Friday morning, there is no other time for me to train that day. So it gets it done.
Do you have the girls in there with you? They watch you do it?
I, they don't really always come in with me. They kind of come in and go, but yeah, I don't really like to have them around if I'm lifting heavy barbells. It's like obviously quite dangerous, but so I would only really do it in the house if they were maybe in bed or if my husband was around to kind of see to them. They come and use it. Like Matilda's always hanging off those rings. And
well, I was going to ask, have you given Matilda a little PVC pipe and taught her how to snatch yet?
Nah. No? She used to pick up when she was younger, but I don't really like to push things onto my kids. Like she's really into gymnastics. She loves gymnastics and she loves dancing. So I just leave her to that. Although I am really excited. She's just started cheerleading.
Oh, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
Wait, what do they cheer for in Europe? You guys playing soccer? They have cheerleaders for soccer or what are they doing?
Yeah, they do. They have cheerleaders for football.
Soccer.
She just goes to a class. So she just learned how to do it. And like they have a show every year and stuff.
It never occurred to me that you guys would have cheerleaders for any sport. What other sports do they have cheerleaders for?
They have football, basketball. I don't know what else.
I didn't even occur to me you guys are playing basketball. That's always just seemed like such an American sport to me.
Well, it is American. They just, sometimes follow in our footsteps.
Do you call it something different or is it actually called basketball?
Basketball.
Okay, good. At least you didn't screw that
up. It's called racquetball over there.
Do they? Pickleball.
It's not as popular. I don't think we've got any pickleball yet.
Oh, it's coming, baby.
Maybe I'll take it home with me.
Are there any Scottish players in the NBA? I don't think so. Are there? Do we know?
I have no idea, but I will Google it. I'll make use of my time as you guys talk. Google it.
Yeah, Sho and I are just going to do this without you, Ben. Matter of fact, we're changing the name of the show, Scale and Bell with John and Sho. I think that's excellent.
Yeah, it's got a better ring to it.
It does have a better ring. You're much more fun and you have much better accent than Ben. Although Ben did pull off a really good Australian accent a week ago. It was great. It was really great.
Well, I heard that. I listened to that.
It was terrific. I partied with some Australians at the after party. I should make Ben come over and do it and see which one would punch him in the nose. They were an aggressive bunch.
The other day did a Scottish accent and it was like, that's Australian. Yeah.
You've asked Ben to do any accent and it's just Australian. That's all.
Scottish. Robert Archibald.
Who?
And he was a Scottish basketball player, 6'11". And he was selected by the Memphis Grizzlies in the 2002 NBA draft. And dang, he died age 39 in January 2020.
Thanks. Wow, way to bring the show down, Ben. Thanks, bro. Guys. Man.
I took
a dark turn. not exactly what I was planning for. So what's next for you, Sho? You have competitions coming up. You planning to compete? Like, what are your goals?
Yeah, I want to get back to competing. I've got one coming up next month. It's going to be my first competition back on. I don't know how much I'll lift, but I really just need to get a qualifying total for the competition that's later on in the year. I don't have to lift that much. There's no pressure. I just have to get a total. I think it's something like 79 kilos or something, which will be fine.
I don't even know what kilos are. I'm American. Are you going to come back to Wadapalooza?
I don't think they did the lift off this year, did they?
I have no idea. I don't know what they're
doing. No, because I looked for it even though I wasn't going to be there. That was the best event I've ever done. That was so good.
A fun trip. That's where Sho and I met, for anyone listening. That's for everyone listening.
And she PR'd her snatch. I still remember that. That was amazing. Another awesome moment with Shona. You guys earlier were talking about her comeback, and today she shot a million videos, but she attempted her first strict ring muscle up in how many years?
I don't even know. More than 3 anyway.
More than 3 years, and she totally nailed it and ended up doing a bunch of them for videos. So very proud of her and her comeback. But yeah, she crushed it. I put it on, I told her I was going on Instagram Live, so she had to hit it. I wasn't on Instagram Live, but I made it look like it was.
You're balancing a lot of hats, Sho. I mean, between your full time job with Ben and doing the social thing, and then you're lifting, and you're a mom. Like, are you stressed out? It stresses me out talking about it. Oh, I lost you. You have no sound. No sound on my end, anyway. What'd you do, Ben? Come on, bro. You guys are killing me. You're going to make me just sit here and riff now. Nope, still can't hear you.
He pressed mute.
There you go.
How about now?
All better. All better. Now I'm no
longer. You didn't do anything to make it go away. It just happened.
Okay.
There we go.
There you go.
Yeah, so I was feeling, you know, before I had Finley, I'm one of these people that kind of doesn't say no to anything. And I like always have these ideas. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do this. And I want to do that. And I have all these things. And then it was getting to the stage where I was like, okay, I'm like, my life is so full now. And I'm going to have a baby. So, yeah, at that point, I was like, I have to kind of decide to drop a few things, like work commitments, and I have to learn to say no and prioritize, really. You know, I think for a lot of people, a good thing to think about is really why you do things. And I always have to ask myself that, you know, if somebody asks me to do something, it's like, okay, am I doing this because I just want to be nice and I want to please somebody else? Or am I doing it because it's actually good for me? And I think that's important to do. And even when we're talking about fitness, I think a lot of people, you know, maybe they after they have kids or whatever, they just do what they've always done. And they maybe don't think about trying to like reset priorities and figure out why they're really doing it. You know, you'll get a lot of people who you'll ask them why they do what they do or why they go to the gym, and they'll say, I do it for health. And it's like, are you doing it for health? Because your training doesn't really reflect that. And for me, I'm not training for health. I can like put my hands up and say, I'm not. I'm training to get back to weightlifting and get back to competing. So that's a little bit different. But I think people don't realize that if you want to train, if you really do want to just train for health, it doesn't need to be so intense or so full on or take up so much of your time.
Here's something that just kind of popped into my dome. I've known you for a while. You're very fit. You've been very fit for as long as I've known you. Do you feel any changes? Like, I know, obviously, when you have a baby, tons of changes to your body. But visually, you look the same to me than when I met you, you know, a couple of years ago. Have you felt, do you feel different? Or is there, you know, different aches and pains that maybe you didn't have a couple of years ago you're having to compensate for at this point?
Nah, I always have the same aches and pains. Yeah, some changes to my body, obviously. When you have a baby, there's usually changes to your, like your abs and things, and a bit of loose skin. And
she still has more abs than you and I can buy, John.
Well, that's not something to brag about, to be honest. I mean, at least on my end. But well, no, I just like, I'm just curious. You know, like as I age, I have different aches and pains than I had even a year ago. And, you know, obviously, you know, having a baby is a very traumatic thing, you know, on your body. It's, you know, it's almost like a violent injury to some degree, you know, although your body prepares for it. You know, just curious, you know.
Yeah, no, I think just taking it slow, coming back from having her, I didn't rush anything. I didn't have any set timelines. I kind of guessed it would probably take me around a year of training to get back, but that was a wild guess. And I wasn't going to be upset if I didn't make those set timelines. Right. So yeah, I took it slow coming back and just did, you know, I tried not to rush it. Actually, having a coach really helped because that kind of reined me in. I think that if I'd been in charge of my own programming, I would have went a bit too fast.
Who's your coach? Do you use Ben? Please tell me it's not Ben. Who's your coach?
It's not Ben.
Okay.
No, I have a coach in my own gym at home, because I like that kind of in-person coaching. It's kind of half remote, half in-person.
Do you lean on any of the wide prep team for advice at all, or do you just think they're all crackpots like I do?
Yeah, they're pretty much just crackpots. Yeah. No, I think it's if you have a coach, I feel like it's important to trust your coach and not to kind of jump around between programs and coaches. And you know, if you have too many different opinions in the mix, it's going to get messy.
Yeah, I have a coach kind of for everything, although occasionally I'll lean in on others. Like I leaned in on CJ while we were there, ran into him, and my arm was hurting. And, you know, I'd hurt my arm a week or so ago playing golf, of all things. And it's just hurt like hell. And then I woke up while we were at the games over Madison, and I just had this huge bruise across my forearm. And I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to die now. This sucks. I'm not ready to go. And so I ran into CJ and I'm like, dude, do I need to go to the hospital? What's going on here? You know, he's like, no, no, you're fine. Just blood leaking into your arm. I'm like, that doesn't make me feel better. That doesn't sound good. You know, he's like, it's fine. You're fine. You're totally fine. I'm like, okay. And I trust CJ. So I knew I was fine. And so I guess my point to that is it's nice to have people you trust, even if they're maybe not your normal coach, including Ben. I trust Ben. I message Ben for advice on workouts from time to time, every once in a while. And shockingly, he gives great advice. Shockingly.
You're the only person I give good advice to. Everyone else, I just spew nonsense. I try to sabotage everyone that might be competing against you, John.
Speaking of competing against you, Ben, how did our little competition go?
Well, I'd love to talk about that, John. So first, let's talk about who it was for.
All right. Yeah. All right. So we did this. First of all, I want to say I was very grateful how many people showed up and a little shocked. But we did this little competition for Forging Youth Resilience, which is a charity in the CrossFit space. They do amazing work with youth that are in disadvantaged neighborhoods, or, you know, they have troubles or whatever, right? And they help these kids and give them mentorships and, you know, a place to thrive. And these kids turn out great. And it's like a really cool charity. And, you know, I love kids. So it's, you know, something I'm kind of passionate about. So they had reached, I've done some work for them in the past, and they reached out and they go, hey, we got this workout and we'd love for you and Ben to do it head to head. Now, what they didn't tell me, it was just going to be best of three rounds. I thought it was going to be one round. I'm like, oh, it's going to be like a quick 1 minute thing. We'll be done. No big deal. And we get there and they're like, oh no, it's 2 out of 3. You got to win 2 out of 3. I didn't like that as much because that meant I had to really work. And it was 3 rounds, 9 sandbag thrusters, 9 burpees over the sandbag, and then 9 sit-ups, which was different than the original workout they told me it was going to be.
Wait, the burpees were over the sandbag?
Yes, burpees over the sandbag.
Interesting.
Yeah, you were going
over in the video that I had, one of us wasn't really going over the sandbag.
Well, I was going over, no, I was going over the sandbag. Let's talk about the standards, all right? The standards were traditional thrusters, sandbag overhead. Your head has to go, you know, through your arm, you know, pull your head through. Get your armpits out there. Burpees over the sandbag, you did not have to stand up. You could stay as low as possible. I checked these rules at the beginning. They said it when they did it, so it's no different.
Did your feet have to pass over the sandbag?
My torso is passing over the sandbag, Ben. The sandbag is a foot tall. I'm 6 feet tall. I know it's hard for you to wrap your little legs around because you're so short. However, I can't get my entire body over. I got my torso over.
Okay. All right.
And you get to stay low, just like going over a barbell. So it's no different. To be honest, I don't prefer that method because you can't breathe when you're bent over. I hate that. It's like my least favorite.
Oh, so you did the harder method. Gotcha.
I would rather fully stand. Like in a traditional workout, doing burpees over a barbell, I almost always stand it up because I want to continue to breathe and I'm not super concerned about my time. But racing you, I was like, screw it. I will go to blackout if I have to make sure I don't get crushed.
I was willing to die.
I was. And then the what really sucked about it, because it was sit-ups instead of air squats, it should have been air squats if I'd programmed it. But since it was sit-ups, what really sucked, when you do that last one, you have to go over the sandbag and literally flip over immediately because it's so fast and go right into sit-ups. It was not fun. So in the first round, show did you – you didn't see it, did you? You weren't there for this? So in the first round, Ben got into my lane. And I couldn't actually do the burpees to full depth because his feet were where my chest would be. And he was trying to kick me in the mouth.
So I helped you. You didn't even have to go all the way down on the burpees.
Well, but I couldn't do them at any kind of speed because I was worried you were going to come up and kick my teeth out. That's a real problem. I don't want to walk around the CrossFit games looking like some sort of Arkansas hillbilly. I mean, no offense, Arkansas. No offense, Arkansas. I'm from Mississippi.
Yeah, we've met a lot of people from Arkansas, actually. So no offense. They all had most of their teeth.
I'm from Mississippi. I can make fun of Arkansas. I did meet a bunch of people from Memphis. Maybe I should have said Tennessee. Anyway, so we invalidated the first round. We said, all right, we're going to call that a wash. Ben won the second round by 1 second. I won the third round by 1 second. So I think that's an absolute win for me because I'm 52 and Ben's like 12, you know, like
what was the weight on the sandbag? For you?
Well, I did the women's RX.
Which was?
I don't know. I think I had 15 pounds in the sandbag. Would you? I think you had 35 pounds. All right. Let's preface this though, Ben. What's your jerk weight?
Well, that doesn't matter.
What's your one rep max on a thruster? What is it?
What's my what?
One rep max on a thruster.
One rep max thruster is probably 225.
All right. Mine at best. First of all, you know it's more than 225. You know it is, you lying bastard. you know it is. Isn't it? What's your
one? I mean, I don't want to be challenged to do more and then fail. So
what's your true one rep max?
I'd probably 245.
Okay. Mine at best, if I were real, like I might die at 185, maybe. And I'm 20 years older than you. So of course I've got a lighter weight in the sandbag. Ben's just mad because I have good range of motion and I was really fast on the thrusters. And the look on his face.
So fast on the thrusters. It was so strange because like during the workout, I was just like, how are you so fast in the thrusters? And you're like, don't worry about it. And then like right after our third round is done, I walk over to his sandbag to like, you know, inspect it. And he just stands on it. He's like, don't worry about this.
Well, look, come on, Ben. To be fair, like you are stronger and younger than me. So I think it was a fair scale between what you had and what I had. You had 35 pounds. Come on, bro. It's a light kettlebell for you. Like
John, I was impressed by your speed. You were very, very speedy. In fact, that first round, you know, when I obviously intentionally sabotaged your burpees, I still remember like getting off the thrusters and I was like, you know, I can go fast on thrusters. I love thrusters. I got off the thrusters and you were ahead of me a little bit. And I was like, what the hell? You know? So I was able to like get you on the burpees there and obviously interference helped. But yeah, I was terrified how fast you're moving. It was very scary.
Since this is scale and bail, I'm going to talk about the strategy for this for anyone that cares. Like if you're doing a short workout. So I knew going into this, these were going to be basically 30 second workouts. Basically.
Step one, reduce your weight.
Well, no. Well, yeah, scaling helps. I mean, I'm not going to deny that you can move faster with a 15-pound weight over a 35-pound. But what I will tell you, when it's really short like that, I think we've talked about this a lot, you should always balance intensity and intent. You know, which should it be? And in this case, this is a workout because it should be, you know, it's sub 1 minute each round. You have to go to blackout status. This is the one where you have to be able to willing to hurt as much as you possibly can. You can hold your breath for the entire workout and still go as hard as you can. You could for that amount of time. I mean, like that's the way I always judge these things. When I know like Fran's a good example of a workout that's like that, when you know, all right, it should be, you know, we're just at like kind of a moderate time. If you want to be 5 minutes or less, well, you can physically hold your breath for 2 minutes without passing out. And if that's the case, as long as you can keep breathing, you can go full send for a pretty decent amount of time. And in a workout like this, I was like, all right, screw it. Like, there's nothing that's going to keep me from three rounds, which is basically a minute and a half worth of workout, to go as hard as I can possibly go and just let it hurt afterwards, because it will escalate afterwards. And by the way, it did. Like, after that third round.
Oh, yeah. Afterwards, when it hurt, my abs were screaming, actually.
Well, and it escalates. That's what sucks about those short workouts. It really sucks because you do a minute and a half, you know, essentially of going full send. And then you spend another 5 minutes feeling your body trying to catch up to where you were. And then you have to come back down. And so you get about a 10-minute window where it just sucks. And to make matters worse, because it was packed. And I think people were coming to watch me make a fool of myself more than anything else. Then everyone wanted photos. And so now we got to stand up and we're taking photos with people and I'm trying to smile and I got sweat running down my glasses and it was terrible. It was so gross. So gross.
I was very impressed by your performance, John.
Well, thank you, Ben. Thank you. You would not have been impressed by my performance today at the gym. I swear I was huffing and puffing like it was my first workout of my entire life. It was not good. I'll let you guys in on the contest. I'm giving away a t-shirt. If anybody can guess my time, let me give you the workout, Ben. So you may want to write some of this down because I don't have it to put on the screen, but I do have the t-shirts. I'm going to put those on the screen. You want to see my t-shirts?
Yes, because I know we're going to see them anyway.
Look at that.
Air Bike Fan Club.
Only fans AF since 1978. I kind of like them. I wore this shirt at the CrossFit Games.
Nice.
and I ran into the assault bike people. And I know Tracy Bates, who owns Assault Bike, is literally the sweetest woman you've ever met. And she's like, and she had bought the last time I made this shirt, and I had it in green before. She's like, oh my God, you got to make that again, and but do it in a different color. So I reached out to Barbell Voodoo, who does my shirts, and I'm like, hey, how many colors can we do? He's like, how many do you want to do? I'm like, well, three makes sense to me. I don't want to offer, you know, the full spectrum of tees. So I picked three colors. And when I was talking to her this morning, telling her I was going to do it, she's like, hey, can you give a little, can you call it Assault Bike Fan Club? So she actually gave me permission to use her actual product name. And I'm like, I would love to, but I don't want to piss off the people that ride Echo Bikes or C2 Bikes because they'd never buy it, you know? So she's like, well, how about an homage? I'm like, I'll put AF in there because it's got a double meaning, you know? So I dropped it in and I love them. But anyway, here's the workout. Let me tell you the workout. Write this down, Benjamin.
Shona's doing it. Her handwriting's better than mine.
And then you have to guess my total time. And I'm not going to tell you my total time, but I'll tell you guys off the air if you guess it. Anybody that guesses my total time, puts it in the comments, is going to win a shirt. All right. So it's three rounds. Each round is different. You have 12 minutes for each round. When you complete the round, you rest for the remaining 12 minutes. So the only time you're counting is actual working time, and you're going to add three times together. All right. First round is 400-meter run, 32 bike calories on an Echo bike, 40 row calories. The second round, it's going to be all the same movements, all the same cows. You just change order. In the second round, 32 bike calories, 40 row calories, 400-meter run. In the third round, you do 40 row calories, 400-meter run, 32 bike calories. So that's the whole workout.
I hate this workout so much.
Let me tell you what I hated was that the third round was the easiest structured. So you can sell out on the bike. And I sold the F out on the bike and my legs cramped for 10 minutes afterwards. When I say I sold out, like it's one of those, like you get 10 calories in and your mind's going, no one's going to know if you just stop. No one's going to know if you just tell everybody you're at 32 calories. And then you get to 16 and you're like, all right, I'm halfway. And you figure out how long you've been on there. You're like, I can do this for that much more time. And then you start going even harder. You know, you get 5 calories to go and now you're sprinting and it's just miserable. It is so bad. Hmm. So, all right, guess the times. We'll see how you guys did.
I'm going to guess 19 minutes and 4 seconds.
You got to add them together. All right, so Ben has 1904. Ben's wrong, by the way. How about you, Shauna?
It's been so long since I've done this kind of cardio that I can't even guess how long it would take me.
Well, we're not talking about you. You'd be done quicker than me. You're talking about my
old man. No. You couldn't even pay me enough money to do this workout. What did you say, 19?
I said 1904, like that.
He said 1904. I'm scrolling through my comments to see if anybody guessed it, because if they did, I can disclose it. But it doesn't look like anybody has it. Somebody got within 1 second, though. Like, literally within a second.
1804.
All right. So those are your two times.
Was Ben? 19?
He was 1904. I feel like this is The Price is Right. I feel like we should be dinging a bell right now to see who won. Man, there's a lot of guesses in here. My favorite are the ones that are guessing I just tapped out and went home early. Those are absolutely
quit DNF.
There are a couple people that said I DNF'd. There are a couple people that said I just sat on the sidelines and sipped bourbon, which, by the way, I thought was a pretty good choice. I definitely considered it. The funny part about that workout, because it sucked so bad, was I thought to myself out as I'm sitting there, I'm like, I wonder what would happen if I puked on my first day back, you know? And I was like kind of laughing to myself. Oh, that'd be really funny. And then I finished the first round. I started feeling nauseous. I'm like, oh shit, yeah. This is not good. This is not going to be good if I actually puke at the gym. Because I'm still, hand to God, puke free since 2011. I've never puked.
This is why I started weightlifting, because I always used to puke during workouts.
Did you?
Yeah. I was like renowned for it. Run outside afterwards. Sometimes we did an assault bike challenge, and it was like, I think it was my husband's 35th birthday and somebody else was 35 as well. And like we hadn't long opened, we hadn't long been training. And the challenge was 35 calories for time. So you can imagine how disgusting that was. Right. And then afterwards, I'm just lying on the floor and my head really started to hurt. I felt sick. And everybody was like laughing. And then my gym owner came over and she's like, "Are you okay?" I was like, "No, I can't move."
Oh, I did an assault bike challenge once at Scott Panchik's gym. It was 50 cals for time. And I'd never done it before. And this is the closest I ever came to throwing up at the gym. And so I'm like, I'm going to show these jerks how fit I am. And I crushed that thing. And if I remember right, I want to say my time was like 140, maybe, for 50 cals. And again, I sold out. I got off the bike. I took two steps and my legs went out from under me, like literally collapsed to the floor. And I had like, I had never experienced that before. I'm like, how is, like, what is going on right now? So I stand up, I start waddling around a little bit. And then you start getting that, that mercury taste in your mouth, you know, metallic taste. I'm like, oh, this is not good. Now keep in mind, this was the first of two workouts. This is the first one. So this is a second workout about to happen. You know, 5 minutes later, and I'm like, I look at Scott, I'm like, "Hey, I'm gonna walk around the building." He's like, "Workout's about to start." I'm like, "Not for me." I just take off, and I did not do the second workout. I never recovered ever. Like, I had the same problem there. Yeah, I had the same problem there. I was talking about in Madison. Like, it started escalating and getting worse and worse and worse, and it got worse for like 15 minutes, and then finally subsided. But it took me a good half hour to get my life back together. It was so bad. So.
Yeah.
Well, you both didn't guess. I will tell you off the air, and no one in the comments got it here either so far, but we'll see. So before we wrap up, let's talk favorite moments from the games. It was ladies first. So Ben, what was your favorite moment? show.
Hey, that's disrespectful to ladies, man.
I'm disrespectful to all the ladies. So show, what was your favorite moment from the games?
Well, I assume I'm not allowed to see the party.
That's what, yeah, you can say the party, whatever. Like, you were in Madison and you're a guest in our country. What was your favorite part besides the breakfast at the Doubletree? We don't count.
Oh, yeah, you got to say the breakfast at the
Doubletree. That was up there. The pokey place is good. What else?
It's all food for show. She doesn't care about sports at all. Oh my God.
I had a really nice and really nice dish from one of the vendors as well.
Yeah.
Okay, aside from the party and all the food that I ate, the sandbag workout, that was so good to watch.
That was
amazing. I didn't see the guys because we had to go and get ready and for our night out, but the girls that was amazing. It was so cool to watch, and everybody was just totally getting behind. Anybody who failed it went to pick it up again. Like, the crowd was just going crazy. Loved it.
Well, Danny Spiegel has the whole world's respect now after that event. I mean,
yeah, like,
she really was a really amazing moment, I think, for her and for a lot of people watching that. So that was fun. The men wasn't as fun. Mm. The men were cool. Like, they're, you know, watching Guy lift the sandbag was pretty cool because he's not that big a dude. Like, he's big, but he's crazy strong.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of fun watching him, but the women were the highlight.
Yeah, I find it really cool watching the girls that weren't the big, strong ones.
Right.
And kind of seeing what they could achieve. That was cool.
Very cool.
And I mean, they're all strong, but not the biggest and the strongest.
And your favorite non-sports moment was the party? The WOD prep party? Which party?
I arrived at the WOD prep party after 24 hours of traveling with my suitcase. So yeah, the CrossFit party was pretty amazing.
Very nice. Ben, your two favorite moments?
I mean, I was, of course, going to say the after party as well, because it is my favorite moment every year. But I think one moment was definitely seeing Terry and Patricia. We had two athletes competing. I loved the final workout that they did, because we had the entire WOD prep team plus a whole bunch of WOD prep family all there to cheer them on as they crossed the finish line for the final workout of their CrossFit games. And what was awesome is Patty won the workout, and it was her fourth win in a row. And Terry got second in the workout and almost won it. So it was so cool to just cheer them on as they went full send in this workout that had assault bike calories. It had like box step overs, essentially like really, really tall box step overs, and then sandbag cleans. And man, it was just, it was epic watching them. I was tingling, and Patty actually at one point was in position where if she won, and then the other lady got fourth place, Patricia would have won the CrossFit Games. And at one point that lady was in fifth place, but she absolutely went full send and jumped back up into second place in that workout. So Patty ended up getting second overall at the games, which we're super proud of her for. So silver medal for WOD prep. And then Terry got fourth place as well. So we're super excited about that. And so that was one highlight. Obviously the after party was amazing. And then in terms of like general ones that, you know, most people watching would be able to share with us, was definitely the Tim Paulson full send echo bike,
right?
Where everybody gets on that echo bike. Everyone has the same amount of time left. And then he just shows the definition of full send and beats everyone and finishes that. Like, it was epic. That was so cool to watch him just to lay it all on the line. Like, I actually got the feeling of like, okay, he's willing to die to achieve his goal of finishing this workout. So I respect that.
You know, Tim's dad is a good friend of mine, and he's
a big WOD prep fan too. He comes up to us every year.
Yeah, he's in his 50s. We should have him on to talk about training as a master's athlete. Tim has the ability to go to that dark place that games athletes have to go to. He has a very unique ability to do it. Like, he can really put his body in harm's way. It makes me nervous sometimes that he has that ability. And he did. Like, I was watching him do that going, is he going to finish a blackout? Which is going to happen first? You know, like, and sometimes I wonder that with these guys. Now, it was only, I think, 30 calories at that moment, so I knew it wouldn't black out. I'm like, man, if he's able to get off that bike and still go the 10 feet to the finish line, it's going to be a damn miracle. And he did literally throw himself over. Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah. I think
how about you, John?
My two favorite moments, I'm going to combine the big one. I thought the workout, the Capitol, was amazing. I didn't watch it in person. I watched it on TV from the site, and it was the visual of Rebecca Fuselier coming up the Capitol in last place and the whole crowd behind her. I thought really spoke to the community and the power of CrossFit, and really spoke to Rebecca's just pure tenacity and, you know, just no quitting that young woman. She's, you know, a terrific athlete, and she was a rookie. And I think that's going to be an iconic image for years to come. And I really thought it spoke to the weekend, like the focus on the affiliates and, you know, the everyday CrossFitter, not the games athlete at the games, I thought was really spectacular and exactly what CrossFit's focus should be. And so I was really encouraged as someone who's passionate about CrossFit to see and feel as if this brand, you know, their death has been greatly exaggerated. It's got a bright future ahead of us. So that part was really cool. Probably my second favorite, or, you know, my second thing, the non-event, you know, or non-CrossFit event thing, was the party we had at that little bar. And the people that came out to, you know, we've been talking about it on the show, you know, fans of Scale and Bale and fans of WOD Prep. You know, the upside was I met a lot of people I would never get to meet, and people that are really passionate about this podcast or passionate about the work you guys do. The downside to it is they would all come up to me and go, hey, I haven't met you. Let me buy you a drink. And because I'm so polite, eight drinks later, I'm really smashed. You know? So that part was hard. That was really hard. And it was like, you know, I drink the same thing every time. So it's like eight tequilas. I mean, no, great. I want everyone to keep in mind a couple of things. It was over a long period of time, and we Ubered in and out of there. So there were nothing bad happened. You know, we're not putting anybody at danger. And the worst part of that is, you know, we left like, how late was it? 2:30, 3? It was close to 3.
We shut it down for sure.
We absolutely shut it down. And I get this Uber driver that's like one of those chatty Cathys, and he talked the whole way back, and I was smashed and exhausted, and I just wanted to tell him to shut up so bad. I was like, could you please just be quiet? I just want some silence so I can go home and get the spins and go to sleep. Like, that's what I wanted, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, that party was amazing. We're definitely going to try to get it back there next year. I think, John, you said you might try to bring your guitar and play a set, get some live music going. Dude, it was awesome seeing everybody come out to that. We had over 200 people for sure pass through, because all 150 or 200 drink tickets that I had printed out went to a different human being. It was amazing.
Well, that's what you think. I think I took 10 of them.
Yeah, that's why Charlie kept coming up to me and asking for more.
I know. No, I came away, you know, this little preview for next week, because I tell you what I want to talk about next week is just goals. And we've talked about that before, but I came away from the games with a lot of goals for the rest of this year and kind of where I want to be. And so I want to talk about that some. And one of those goals, though, was when we go back there, I do want to play a set, take a guitar, and let's bring some people in. Let's have a party and, you know, do things that aren't necessarily CrossFit related. Because, you know, I think that's the beauty of what we talk about here on the show is, like, you got to diversify your life. Life isn't just about CrossFit. Like, scale so you can get out in the world and feel good and do some fun stuff. And, you know, and then over the next 12 months, I'm going to continue to train hard so I can spend that 1 week of debauchery and destroy my body for a week and then come back and start over. You know, it's great. So it was a fun time. And I got to see you, Ben. That was fun. We don't get to spend much time together in person, and it's always fun to get to hang out. So
yes, it is.
And to beat you in workouts. That's fun too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, all right. Well, it's been a fun, guys. Show. Thanks for joining.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's so good.
I know you're going to be our, I wish you could be our regular guest. You just live too damn far away in the time zones of major pain in the butt. You'd have to come on here.
We can make it work again.
All right.
Well, you just have to get up at 3 a.m.
Well, no, you're going to have to stay up. Yeah, you're going to have to stay up late. That's going to be your real problem.
That's usually what happens at World Prep.
Yeah, that's going to be your problem. All right. Well, this has been fun. For everyone joining us, we appreciate you guys joining this week. We'll be back on Mondays starting next week. We did this one late for the games, but we appreciate you guys joining us at the last minute, and we will chat with you guys soon.